Last week we spoke a little bit about what the Gemara tells us in the fifth paragraph of Metzia that one is not permitted to do when one buys on credit. So if one's going to pay a higher price for the ability to buy on credit, that's a potential problem. Because whenever I buy something, so I really should be paying right away. That's the way normal mechiras work. So for the fact that you're extending me that privilege of paying a week later, paying a month later, paying a year later, if you're going to charge me extra for that, so basically the halacha views that as if you are lending me the money, and now I'm paying you back something in addition to paying you back what I should otherwise be obligated, that's a problem of ribbis. So it's not a ribbis deraisa, because it's not derech halva, it doesn't involve a loan, but it looks like ribbis. I mean, derabanan, that would be potentially problematic. We spoke about some of the possible exceptions to that rule last week. There are a few other important klalim that apply when we deal with ribbis derech mechira, particularly in this case of buying on credit, and that is as follows: that it's only considered to be ribbis, this kind of derech mechira, if it seems pretty clear from the context that what I'm paying for is the fact that I'm adding the extra money is for the fact that I'm not paying you right back right away. Let's say the reason why you ask me for the higher price is for some other reason, because you incur some other expense because I'm paying you on credit. So that the post can make a loan. So let's say LaMarshall administrative costs or something, bookkeeping costs. So you're running a business and you sell me product X, and it would be much easier for you if I paid you right on time. So the fact that you're giving me that ability to pay in a month from now, that's going to cost you to have to go over your records again. It's going to cost you more stamps to send me another invoice, whatever it is. You can have certain secretarial costs that you have to cover. So the post can say that's not a problem. So that we call service fees. So service fees are not considered to be a problem of ribbis, because it's clear that you're not charging the extra money because you're letting me hold on to the money for another month. You're charging the extra money just to offset the actual cost that it's costing you just to bill me a few extra times. So this is only true, the poskim write, that if this is the reality, it has to be within reason. So let's say, for argument's sake, I know it's for insurance companies. I think we mentioned at the very end of the show last week, insurance companies have this all the time. They give you two different ways of payment plans. If you want to pay everything up front, or you want to pay every month. So if you pay every month, they'll throw a $5 installment for you or something. So the post can make on that, because that's $5. That's not for schar hamtanos malos. That's not to hold the rights to hold on to the money. That's because they got to bill you again. They got to pay another secretary to write up another bill each month, and they have to bother with the paperwork. So that's okay. But let's say, for argument's sake, they get a bill from the insurance company that says if you pay your car insurance yearly, if you pay it in one lump sum, we'll charge you $1,500. If you pay it monthly, so then instead of it being breaking down to $180 a month or something, we're going to charge you $300 a month. So, and we're going to call that extra $100, $120 a month, we're going to call it a service fee. That's a joke. That's a late sonus. Everybody knows a service fee is $5, $10, whatever. It's a very, very insignificant amount. If the guy's just using the term service fee, but he's really writing ribbis, so that's for sure prohibited. So again, as long as it's worded as a service fee and it's realistic that that's considered to be a service fee, so that would not be a problem of ribbis.
Really, why can't we hear that by the agent? They're paying a fee every time.
So that's a question. Is it really, that's what we spoke about last week, is that really a Betara service fee or not? That's a question. Is that really what it's costing them? It's costing them an extra 10 cents a gallon to write you a little, to write you a slip that says a credit card number on it? I don't know. I'm not sure. Auto leases, so it would be the same thing. If you're paying the extra for the service, whatever paperwork they have to do, that would be okay.
Well, the auto lease has within it interest charges. That's the whole business of an auto lease. It's like you're paying the car off in time. So there is interest charge on the auto lease, on that payment.
You're in effect renting the car.
You're renting the car, so they're charging you.
They're not giving you... Over 24 months, let's say.
So they're charging.
There are interest fees. That's included
So they're creating that as the rental rate. So they're allowed to do that. So I can charge whatever I want for rental. What I can't do is I can't say to you, if you pay me now, pay me $100 a month. If you pay me next week, then pay me $200 a month. That's what I can't do. But if I set a rental rate, I can do whatever I want. There is a common shaya that comes up in terms of late payments. which sometimes touches on ribbis and sometimes doesn't. It's interesting. I was just on the phone with somebody on Friday for about a half hour trying to work out the details of this particular scenario that they asked me about. The person doesn't come to the ribbis room, but again, I think you heard that I saying ribbis room, so the word got out. So the shadows as follows. If you have a setup where you bill a customer for something and you give him a date, he's supposed to pay by June 1st. And the mice, he doesn't pay by June 1st. So you want to give him a late fee. You want to give him a penalty, the Torah's penalty. So you permitted to have a penalty put into the contract. If you don't pay me by June 1st, they're going to charge you an extra $50. So at first glance, that sounds like outright ribbis. That sounds like exactly what we've been talking about. So here the poskim are making, if it's worded properly for the following reason, that ribbis is usually associated with I'm charging money for the use of my money. That's basically what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. I'm allowed to charge money for the use of my car, I'm allowed to charge money for the use of my house, but I'm not allowed to charge money for the use of my money. That's the issur of ribbis. So when if payment is due on June 1st, and I charge you money for holding on to that money, so that's what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. That's what in the case of Terech Mechamemke, the Chum says you're not allowed to do. So if I set up the deal with you as follows, payment is due on June 1st, and for each day that you don't pay me, I'm going to charge you an extra $5. That's Mam Shribis, that for sure you're not allowed to do. But I'm not going to set up such a deal that it's going to, that the interest is going to accrue with time. I'm setting a one-time shot, a one-time penalty. It's to, in effect, force you to pay back on time. You're supposed to be paying back anyway. So the bill is due, the invoice says on it, bill due June 1st. So I want to ensure that you pay me on June 1st. So I throw you, I slap you with a one-time penalty that says, if you don't pay me on June 1st, you're going to have to pay me another $50. But that's not going to change. It's not going to change from June 1st to June 10th to June 20th. It's going to be a one-time thing. It's not going to resemble ribbis whatsoever. And we're not going to write into the contract that, well, once June 1st comes and I penalize you another $50, then I won't bother you for another month. No, I'm going to bother you every day because you still have to pay me the money. So there's absolutely no correlation between the $50 penalty that I threw at you and any extension of the loan. The payment is not for the extension of the loan. The payment is a penalty for not doing what you were supposed to do in the first place. So the post can make on that. So that's the way we're knowing that one would be permitted to do that as long as it's clear that it's a one-time shot. And as long as it's clear that it doesn't change or doesn't grow with time, and as long as it's clear that this in no shape or form is going to mean that you have an extension on the due. I'm going to come after you the next day also. So if all these conditions are met, it's clear that it's not in the context of ribbis, so the poskim are makel that when you have derech mekech hamemke, the whole ribbis is automatically abundant anyway, so one would be permitted to word it in such a way. There is a technical hitch to this type of a setup, and that is whether such a setup is actually binding in terms of halacha. So let's say I enter into an agreement with you and I say, okay, I'm hereby charging you X amount of money, it's due June 1st, but if you don't pay back by June 1st, I'm going to throw at you a $50 penalty fee. And the guy nods, says, yeah, no problem. And now June 1st comes, and now forget about ribbis now, forget about Yeridah. Let's go to Chashem Mishpat for a second. Is he chayav to pay the $50? Api halacha, is he really bound to pay that $50 that he supposedly accepted as a potential penalty? So here the Gemara discusses this in the fifth parak above Metziah. This is a question of asmachta. Because asmachta means when a person enters into an agreement thinking that he's never really going to have to come through to go through with the agreement. He enters into an agreement which is a conditional type of an agreement, and he never believes in a million years that he's going to end up not fulfilling the condition. So that's a potential issue of asmachta. So the Gemara talks about this explicitly, about these kinds of situations where I'm obligated to pay you X amount of money, and I enter into a deal with you, and I say, well, if I don't pay you X, if I don't do such and such, I'll throw in another $50 or something. So since the person, when he makes the condition, when I enter into the deal with you, I think I'm going to pay on time. I don't know who wants penalty phases. So of course I plan on paying on time. So now a quirk happens, something happens, I can't come up with the money. So maybe there was never really a gemiras das. Maybe I never really committed myself. Maybe I pay halacha. That's not considered to be binding. So that's a big machlekes in the Gemara. Asmachta kanya with asmachta lo kanya. These types of setups where when I enter into the agreement, I never in a million years thought I would really go through with it. Is that considered to be binding in halacha? It's interesting as an aside. It's the sugi of asmachta kanya, asmachta lo kanya, which is the basis for the whole halacha discussion about gambling, about what exactly how gambling fits into the picture. Because the Gemara says, at least at the beginning of the sugya, a guy comes and he bets on the horses, he bets on the Super Bowl. So he thinks he's going to win. If he didn't think he's going to win, why would he be betting? So he did all his research. He's betting on the Kentucky Derby. He's, they still have on it, whatever he's betting on. So he's betting on the Super Bowl. He's convinced that Pittsburgh's going to win. They win every other year. They're stumbling to win this year also. So it doesn't dawn on him that maybe somebody else may win the Super Bowl. So, and then, poof, and then the team that he bet on loses. So the guy comes and he says, but I never thought I would have to pay the money. So the question is that called a smachta? Is that not called a smachta? That's a big machlekes in the Gemara about machlekes in the Rishonim, what the maskana is. If you hold that gambling and betting fall under the category of a smachta lokanya, so that means he's not really mechuyev to pay the money. So now when I go ahead and I force him against the wall and I say, listen, you better pay me that money, so I'm a gazlan. He's not mechuyev to pay me the money in chayshim mishpat. So it could be that according to some opinions in the Gemara, at least some Rishonim may even pass in that way, that all kinds of betting and gambling may be a shayla of gazel deraisa, because the guy doesn't really want to pay me the money and he's not mechuyev to pay me the money. So again, we're not talking about the details of gambling right now. Suffice it to say, nobody should be gambling, no ben Torah gambles, no Yerusha Mayim gambles. It's absolutely out of the question for a variety of reasons. It's according to many poskim, it's a Nisa Gomer of Gazela. According to others, it's also for other reasons that they're Abban and they're Aida. The Mai says, there's no question about it. Nobody's going to be gambling. But the principle of Asmachta appears in the Sugya of gambling. So here to the poskim of Ma'orer, that even though we may have overcome the ribis angle of these kinds of agreements, where I throw in this penalty phase, and the guy says, yeah, I'll pay you the penalty, maybe I have no right to collect this penalty. And now when he mumbles under his breath that, okay, fine, I'm going to pay the penalty, he doesn't really want to pay it, and he's not really mechuyev to pay it, so I may be a gazlan. So we may have overcome your day of problems of ribis, we may have rolled into a more serious problem. Ribis derech mekech hamem, because only in nisa derabonon, but gazel is in nisa deraisa, l'choladeis. Remember, Rabbi Shechter once said, I've said this line on different occasions, Rabbi Shechter once said many years ago, that he thinks that if the Torah wouldn't have written Lo Signov as one of the Aseres Adibros, if it would have just been like a Yesh Omim in a Mishnah Berurah somewhere, he thought it would have been much more successful. So he said that people are more makbid on the Yesh Omim and a Shar Tzion and a Diyak or something. Says the Aseres Adibros, what's the Aseres Adibros? So we don't want to violate Rivis, and we don't want to violate Geneva either. So L'chor, that's a serious problem. So then the post can add on that, guess what? Even for those who are not so worried about the Gazela for whatever reason, they're more into Rivis problems, because Rivis is in your Adea. So they should just know that it could be that this would be a violation of Rivis also. Why? Since the halacha is that I'm not really mechuyev to pay the money, if you hold this as an example of an asmachta, the penalty phase is not binding in Chayshim Mishpat, so I don't really have to pay, but I'm going to go ahead and pay anyway. So basically what I'm doing is I'm doing you a favor that I'm not mechuyev to do. So that's a no-no in the realm of halva. If I owe you money and then I go ahead and I do you a favor, I go ahead and lend you my car, I go ahead and I let you live in my house for free, so I'm doing something that the halacha doesn't require me to do. That's a favor which is linked to the loan, and then you have a problem of ribis on your hands. So we have to solve the Chayshim Mishpat problem for two reasons. We have to solve the Chayshim Mishpat problem, number one, because we don't want to violate Chayshim Mishpat, we don't want to violate Gezeilah, and number two, for our purposes, we don't want to violate ribis either. So it's all nice and dandy to say that this starts out as not being a ribis problem, because it's not couched in terms of ribis, but if we can't overcome the Chayshim Mishpat problem, then we have a dual problem on our hands. We have a Chayshim Mishpat problem, and we have a Yerder problem with Chayshim Mishpat. So how do you get around the Asmachta problem? So this is a complicated sugya in Maseches Nedarim. How can your word some kind of an agreement, condition, that doesn't smack of Asmachta? So probably the easiest, most practical way of doing it today is based on the following, that some poskim say that If you create a deal of an asmachta that's binding in secular law, so then that overcomes the problem of asmachta. Because the whole idea of asmachta is that there's no gemuras das. The person doesn't really think he's going to pay. He doesn't think this. He thinks the whole thing is just a big joke. But if you do something that he knows in the back of his mind, you could take me to court over it. Whether you will or won't, a different story. But you could theoretically take me to court for it. So that's a real gemuras das. That overcomes any potential problem of asmachtas. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, that the best way to solve this problem is you write a contract. You write a binding contract that's legally binding in secular American law. So, or if you're in Aruch HaShulchan, in Nevardic law, in Lithuanian law, wherever you live. So as long as the contract is theoretically enforceable by the secular authorities, that overcomes any potential problem of asmachtas. That's what I told this individual on Friday, that when he was, his business was charging and was sending invoices and the people weren't paying, so he had Jewish customers, so the best way to do it was to to enter into an agreement with them and have it in writing and have the lawyers make sure that the agreement is binding. If the agreement is binding in secular law and it's only worded as a one-time penalty and it doesn't change with time and there's no correlation between the loan and the penalty, not a loan, just they're not paying on time, and the obligation is still there. He's not foregoing the obligation for a couple of weeks because of the penalty. If all the other conditions are met and it's binding secularly, so then that overcomes the problems of asmachtas. That was the setup that we try to work on Friday. Okay, there's a little break. I have a couple of questions on what I said until now.
So, Rabbi, if this person had issued late fees without this warning, he returned the money now?
That becomes a very tricky question. We haven't even begun to speak about if a person violated ribbis, what do you do? So yeah, that's coming up. Coming up, we'll talk about that. Yeah, that's becomes a serious problem. We spoke about ribbis derech shlichus. We spoke about that the very early days, 3 weeks ago. We started the shiurim. But even according to the Mekilim, that you're allowed to actually have a ribbis deal go through a third party, that's only if the actual loan went through the third party also. Right, that's a problem. Just using a third party, just as an agent to collect for you is a serious problem. No, but he's saying that if you want to collect that extra, if you want to collect the late fees which weren't formulated properly, we'll talk a little bit more later on when we speak about.
I had a patient who I had to take to court because on small claims court because he wasn't paying the bill. So the Rav told me, go ahead and do it, and you use them as a collection agency. So now the leader they pay the court, as a matter of fact, puts incremental payments on their on the principal. So
the stock
seems to be that that's
your business.
Well, I think
you're
giving
the
money back
if you're
a baby.
Okay.
You were saying before that legitimate hit on the service fee was for actual and legitimate courts. What if I'm borrowing the money from my business? I'm paying interest.
No, that's not a service fee. You mean that. Because I'm losing money that I could have gotten. I could have gotten interest.
I have to finance my accounts payable because he's paying me later. So I have to have a fee. If you don't pay me in 30 days, that X number of dollars adds on. So we have bookkeeping costs, we have billing costs.
So I mean, the person who borrowed the money is paying for your costs.
Yeah,
so that's all right. If he's paying for whatever losses you're taking. But he can't. No. You can't. If you're losing interest, so then you're.
No, I'm paying interest. I borrowed the money
right.
To buy the goods.
I don't think so. He's allowed to. He pays if it costs you. If you're losing actual money, but the fact that you're paying interest, he's paying interest to you. I think that's ribbis. I think so. So up until now, we've been speaking about ribbis derech mekach u'memkar going in one direction. That I'm. When I sell you an object, the understanding is I say something now, you're supposed to pay me for it now. If you don't pay me for it now, and I give you that that grace time of paying me in a month from now, so that's ribbis, but the direction of the ribbis is going from the lokeach to the mocher. Sometimes you can have the exact opposite case, where the sugya talks about in Maseches Bava Metzia also, mamash the flip side. Think of everything we've been talking about up to now, and just put it in the mirror in your heads. What if you have the following? I come to you and I want to buy something from you, but the object isn't here yet. It's not ready. You don't have it, or you're not ready to sell it now. Whatever it is, so I say to you like this: Listen, I won't actually take the object until another month from now. But I'm going to pay you now. I'm going to pay you in advance, prepayment. So if you want to pay prepayment, that's fine. But wait a second. That's so simple. I'm going to pay you. I'm going to give you a prepayment. But in lieu of the fact that I'm giving you a prepayment, I'd like you to shave a couple of dollars off the cost of the object. So that's also a problem of ribbis. That's ribbis in the opposite direction. Here, I'm coming to you and I'm saying, listen, I'm not going to pick up the car until June 1st. Now it's May 15th. So I'm going to give you the money up front now. So right now, I'm lending you the money. I'm giving you the rights to use the money for the next 2 weeks that you're not really entitled to. You're only entitled to the money once I get the car in return. So I'm, in effect, lending you the money. And now I'm saying to you, well, in reward for me lending you the money, so do me a favor, and instead of charging me $10,000 for the car, charge me $9,500 for the car. So that's a problem. So I think Gemara says beferish. That's a problem of ribbis. Again, that's also ribbis derech mekach u'memkar. It's not going to be ribbis deraisa because it's not an actual loan, but it's ribis derech nechach memke, which is prohibited, which the Mishnah says beferish is also a problem, at least midir rabbanim. So here the Gemara and the Rishonim add on a few conditions that sometimes this is permissible. Sometimes these types of prepayments are mutter in several types of scenarios. So one scenario is, let's say the mocher already has the object. He already has the car. Not that he's going to go look around to go buy a car from somebody else. He has the car. It's sitting in his lot right now. I don't want it now. You don't want to sell it now. Whatever it is, it's not ready right now for the actual sale, but the object is mamish sitting there. So here the post give a make, that I would be permitted to come to you and pay $9,500 for the car instead of $10,000, based on the principle, at least the way many explain the principle, is that min ha-Torah, kesef is really kona. Min ha-Torah, when I buy metallic one, if I want to buy movable objects, so I technically own it already once I give you the cash. The fact that I haven't taken the object home yet, the fact that I haven't drove the car home yet, that's what's called meshicha. That's only required mid rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, I really own the object. So since this whole ribis derech mekech memker is all mid rabbanan anyway, the whole thing is it's a gezeirah that looks like ribis, so then one could argue that as long as basically I own the object already, as long as it's basically mine, so that's not called prepayment. That's called payment at the time of the sale. So the whole problem of prepayment is that I'm paying pre, kishmo kenu. I'm paying before I'm obligated to pay, and which is considered to be like lending you money, mitirabanan, and you're charging me less because I'm lending you money. But if I'm paying at the time of the sale mamish, so then that's perfectly okay. That's not a prepayment, that's a payment. Bishas ma'isa. So even though Lamaisa haven't taken the car home yet, but since I've already paid for the car, and the car is already biyadcha, it's already bishuscha, so that's considered to be payment at the time of the sale to overcome these problems. That's what the poskim write. However, the condition to this is that this is only true if it's not spelled out beferish that this is betorah's prepayment. It means it has to be that we don't know what the price is exactly. We didn't negotiate the price. I walk in and I say to you, listen, I want to buy a car from you. I don't need the car for another month. I want to pay you now, and I want to pay you $9,500. Now, I know that the car is really $10,000, and you know the car is really $10,000. And it says in the books that the car is $10,000, but I'm going to pay you $9,500. So we haven't spelled out. We haven't had what we spoke about last week, a two-tier price system. It's just that this would be a problem of ribis. So as long as you own the car at the time, it's not a problem of ribis. But if I come to you and I say, listen, let's make a deal, let's negotiate. I need a car, I don't really need it for a month, so if I give you the money now, will you give it to me for $9,500? If I give you the money in a month, will you give it to me for $10,000? If we sit down and we discuss the pratim, and it ends up that we're really honest to goodness setting up a two-tier price system, that's for sure prohibited. So the only time that this type of prepayment would be permissible is so far two conditions. Now, number one, you own the object already, and number two, it's not spelled out explicitly that it's being done b'toras two system of prices. Then the poskim makel also, let's say there really is no set price to this car. There's no price to anything. It's a type of an object that there's no going price. It's just a mocher and a lokech decide between themselves how much it's going to be. It's a personalized type of an item. So here also, as long as it's not spelled out explicitly that this is being done b'toras two system of prices, that would also be permissible. Let's say another example. Let's say the lokech says to the mocher, I come and I say, I want to buy this car from you. I don't want to take the car home for another month. I'm going to give you the money in advance, and I will take responsibility for anything that happens to the car in the next month. If the car blows up in the next month, it's my problem, it's my loss. So here also the post can say, I basically bought the car already. So whether it's binding in Chesh Mishpat or not is a different story, but it's basically my car. So the idea is that whenever we can word these prepayments as not a prepayment, we can word it, we can formalize it as being that I'm mamish buying the car right now. I am not technically taking the car home right now. The car is not quite ready yet, but I basically bought the car from you already, so that's okay. Again, assuming that there was no absolute statement that this is a two-tier price system. If it's spelled out beferish, I'm giving you the car now for $9,500 because you're paying me in advance, but if you would pay me next month, I give you $10,000, if the negotiations sound that way, then it's for sure going to be prohibited. These shailas of prepayment, we run into mamish all the time. Mamish ma'isim b'chol yom, we run into these kinds of prepayment situations. We'll just throw out a few examples to see how the modern day poskim deal with some of these cases. So there is a shaila about ordering newspapers, ordering magazine subscriptions. So if you're getting U.S. News or something, U.S. News is a bad example because the guy who owns it is Jewish. What's his name? No, Zuckerman, right? No. Okay. So let's say, I don't know, you're getting another Time magazine, whatever. Well, it's Time magazine, I don't know. So if you have a non-Jewish owner of a magazine company, so look, it's not a problem whatsoever. But let's say you have a Jewish, you're ordering Mishpacha, you're ordering a newspaper, Hamodiah, whatever it is, you're ordering a subscription. So when you order the subscription, so they tell you like this, if you buy it on the newsstand, so it's going to cost you $3 an issue. So $3 an issue times 52 weeks, it's going to cost you 150, say whatever it is. But if you buy it, if you give a lump sum betchila, if you get a subscription, so then we'll only charge you $140. So wait a second, hold the phone. I'm doing a prepayment. I'm paying you in September, so I should have newspapers for the magazines for the entire year. And you're saying with Irish that you're giving to me less because I'm paying the money up front. So that's mamish ribis gom. That's ribis deraman. That's ribis of derech hamemker. That's prepayment. All of the kulas that we mentioned before don't really apply. That means the first kula, we didn't get them, the first kula is a yeshlo, that the guy has the magazines, doesn't have the magazine yet, the news didn't happen yet. He didn't print June. There are some magazines, you know, that there are some newspapers that are so far from the truth, they could print it before it happens. It wouldn't make a difference. But we hope that anyone who's willing to pay $150 for a subscription is looking for something which has a kernel of truth to it. So the guys, so the first heter is clearly not going to apply. What are the other heterium that there's no set price to it? Well, there is a set price. We know how much the magazine goes for. Then you're going to tell me that the guy's makabel the own sim, that he's makabel. If something happens, imagine if Hamodiah burns down, so they're going to tell you that, sorry, it was your loss. You lost your June newspaper. They'll have to figure out another way to get your newspaper. So all the coolers aren't going to apply. And it's spelled out befeirish. It says on the magazine, it says, this is the price if you buy it in the newsstand, and this is the price if you get a subscription. So that's mamish a problem. So this is a very, very real problem. So how does one get around this problem? So there are two ways to possibly get around this problem. One way, the simplest way, is with a heteriska. We haven't even spoken about heteriskas yet, but heteriskas are things that hopefully we'll talk about in greater detail down the line. But if you have any type of ribbis arrangement between Jews, if you reword and you revamp the, rather than being a loan or extension of funds or something, it's reworded into an investment, so that may become a permissible. So again, we'll have to talk about this a little bit down the line. So if you have these companies, like I imagine that these newspaper companies, these magazine companies, the frum ones, do have heteriska. They probably have heteriskas for other business dealings that they deal with. So we'll talk a little bit later about what's called a heteriska klali. Heteriska klali means that, let's say, a guy does business all the time, and he knows he's going to have to all kind of ribbish shilas coming up. So instead of every single time that he sits down with every new customer writes up a new heteriska, he's got to go to the rabbi, he's got to fill out the forms, it takes a whole to-do, he's going to forget. So he writes one general heteriska, like one general, one mechiras chametz, don't bother me anymore, I don't want to hear anymore. One heteriska from here, I'd be as goyal, everything should be done up via heteriska. That's what's called the heteriska klali. So that
one person or for the oilam?
No, no, he doesn't do it for the entire oilam, he does it for his oilam, he does it for his money.
No, I'm saying it's for his.
For any money.
Hamadiyah sends me a bill every half a year, and I pay it. It's for the next half a year.
No, so
less than the daily.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So if the company has a heteriska, okay. So then maybe that'll work. So we'll talk about those heteriskas.
That's why I ask you. It's for everyone. It's not for one person.
No, it's for all business dealings that they do with everybody. Right.
For all people.
Right. So again, that's a very, very questionable kind of heteriska, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. What may be another good solution for these kinds of cases is the following, the throwback to what we spoke about Rav Moshe. Remember, we spoke about Rav Moshe's kula a couple of weeks ago about ribbis with corporations. So Rav Moshe had a chiddush. Rav Moshe said that when the loveh, when the borrower is not an individual, the borrower is not even a partnership, but the borrower is a corporation, so then that's not considered to be derech ribis bechalal. Why is that? Because halva, the definition of a halva, of a loan in the Torah, means when the person who's borrowing the money becomes meshuvah, has a personal liability to pay off this loan. If there's no personal liability, says Rav Moshe, that's not considered to be a halva. So in one fell swoop, Rav Moshe said, if you have a corporation, even if the corporation is an entirely Jewish corporation, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think there are too many non-Jewish partners in Hamodiah. So let's say you have a company that puts it out. Who puts it out, Hamodiah? who puts out Hamodia, I don't know its name, whatever it is. So let's say the Jewish Observer. So it's put out by the Aguda. So the Aguda is a corporation. So what's going to happen if you, let's say for argument's sake, if the Aguda owes you money, you're going to go after the Novom Minsky Rebbe. Who are you going to go after? There's nobody you're going to go after. So it's a corporation. So there's no personal liability. So according to Rav Moshe's Kula, if you're ordering a subscription of the Jewish Observers, so when you prepay, you're quote unquote lending them money. Who are you lending money to? To the corporation called the Agudas Yisrael of America. There's no one person you can pin down. So since there's no one person you can pin down, that's not considered to be halva, and it wouldn't be a problem bichlal. The only problem is that not everybody accepted Rav Moshe. Remember we mentioned Bishaito, that Dayan Weiss, Mechaz Yitzchok, strongly disagreed with Rav Moshe. Others disagreed with Rav Moshe. Here, there's a little bit more grounds. There are a little more grounds to be Mekel, because this is only Ribbis Derabonah. This is not Ribbis Deraisa. Rav Moshe was Mekel even on Ribbis Deraisa of his Svar of corporations, but this is only Ribbis Derabonah, because it's Derech Mekech HaMemkir. It's buying and selling. It's not through actual loans. So therefore, one could argue that even those who will try to avoid that chiddush of Rav Moshe, maybe over here would be a little bit more comfortable with it, would be willing to be mekel because it's only a corporation. But again, if you remember when we spoke about Rav Moshe's kula, the corporation kula only works when the lova is the corporation. When the malva is the corporation, that doesn't work. If a corporation lends money, the Jewish-owned corporation lends money to an individual Jew, so that's a problem because there is a shibud haguf, there is a personal liability to pay back that chov. So in the prepayment types of deals, where the lova is the corporation, where the magazines, they're borrowing the money from you because they're taking the money before they're sending you the magazine. They're the lova. They're the corporation. So therefore, there would be certain grounds to be mekel. So I think that's what most people rely on today. The from organizations, I think that they rely on the tier for remotion. I think they have the heterisk of always anyway. So I think that's what, so you can keep up your Hamodia subscription if you want.
And does it help? I assume with the Hedgman giving you a lower price is that I don't know.
It's more there anyway for a combination of these reasons. So this. Yeah.
I don't understand how the subscription problem has any problem. When you buy on a subscription, you're dealing with the organization that prints it. When you buy the cover price, you're buying it from someone else. And the difference is that the corporation probably sold it to him at the same price they're selling to you. You're paying that guy's profit. So why is there even...
Could you call up the Jewish Observer and say, I just want you to send me 1 week and I'll pay you the newsstand price? Okay, so that shows to you that they're going to sell it to you a one-time shop at $3, but at the rate of a subscription, they'll sell it to you for $1.50. So it means that shows that they are. So the question is that really processing? Is that really service? Is that what makes up the difference, or is the fact that you're giving them money up front? So some posts have the following eights. So for these magazines, I don't think it's practical. I don't think I'm not sure any real organization is going to want to do this. But some posts can suggest a similar idea as follows. Let's say we can make it. It's absolutely clear that the extra discount that's been given for this subscription is. Is not because I'm giving you the money in advance. Your intention, the Jewish Observer's intention is, oh, Baruch Hashem, we got Yankee Burger to give me $150. Wow, we're going to be able to use that money and invest. So we're so thrilled. We're happy that we have that extra money. So is that really what their kavana is? So how do we know for sure that that's not their kavana? So some folks can say, make the following deal with the Jewish Observer. I'm going to pay $150 now for the subscription. I want you to put the money in escrow until next year, until the end of the subscription. You can't touch that money right now. So if the organization is willing to enter into such a deal, so that shows that they don't really need the upfront money. It just means it's for bulk, it's for this, it's for that. They're willing to do with they're willing to enter into this agreement. But if they're not willing to do it, so that shows that they really need the money now. So the answer is, they're not willing to do this because it's ridiculous. They don't want to put the 5 million people's dollars in escrow. It's not worth it there for their paperwork. So that's what some folks can have, a similar idea. If you can somehow ascertain that that's what their kavan is. Lefianiya's diet, I think the better of the coolers are this combination of you have a funny atariska, a questionable atariska, but combined with Ramosha. Ramosha's cool is a solid cooler. The Ramosha held its mutter by Ribbis Deraisa. So Kavachom by Ribbis Derabon, and one would have a right to be making.
Paying you
Okay, but that's a
so that
would be the escrow. That would be the escrow test. If you can pin them down and build that into the contract, but they're not going to want to do that. It's not practical. There is another shiloh, believe it or not. The Poskim in Eretz Yisrael discussed in America. This is not too common question, but in Eretz Yisrael they discussed it as follows: that the kartisia, you go onto a bus in Israel. So everybody knows you go onto a bus and you got to pay. If you pay on the spot, so then you pay whatever it is. What's the bus going for now? What is it? 6 shekel now? Whatever it is in Israel. So it's you pay X amount of a shkolim, but if you know you're going to go on 30 rides over the next 3 months or something, so you buy a kartisia, you buy these little things, and they make your little holes look like different shapes like on it. So the problem is that that's really prepaying. Means they're giving you a discount because they give you 11 rides for the price of 10. It's like, don't the MetroCards do that also? Okay, so MetroCards, that's all right. You're paying, so the city of New York, the MTA, is borrowing money from you. You're paying in advance, and then they're giving you ribbons. They're giving you a prepayment. You're giving them a prepayment. They're giving you an extra ride for free. So you're allowed to lend money for ribbons to the city of New York. That's a Rover, the city, is non-Jews anyway, and that's not Jewish funds, government funds, whatever it is. That's not a problem of ribbons. But the Israeli government, that's a real problem. Or whoever runs the buses, I don't know, whatever Jewish companies owning the buses, so that's a very real issue in terms of ribbons. So the folks can discuss that with all seriousness. So if you hold like Rav Moshe's kula, so then it's not a problem. So then according to Rav Moshe, the Israeli government, or again, whoever's the owner, it's not a personal liability. But imagine if Eged owes you money, going to go off to the Ministry of Transport or something. I don't know who it is. Anyone, I don't know who anyone is. But whoever, who are you going to go after? So that's a corporation. So that would be mutter. But in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't so excited about the school of Rav Moshe. Many of the Rabban Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael didn't buy into the school of Rav Moshe. So they were looking for other reasons to be matter the kartisia. Everyone used the kartisia. So what's the kula? So some Paiskim said the kula is based on yeshlo. Just as we said before, let's say I come to you and I say, here's $9,500 for the car. I don't want the car right now. Let it sit in your garage for another month, but I'm going to pick it up in a month from now. But here's the money now. So as long as we don't mamash spell out the two-tier system, so that's technically mutter, because Migo, I could take the car right now. It's mamash, the car's there. It's ready to be taken out. So some folks can say, in theory, I could use all 11 rides now, but I have nothing else to do. I grew up from Matastorf to the Kotel, back to Beit Vakal. I could spend the whole day riding around the buses in Yerushalayim. So I could use the Kartisia right now. It's Yesh, though. The ability is there. So maybe that's considered to be like the case of the car. That would only be true if you don't spell out that there are two systems. I don't know. I haven't bought a Kartisia in Israel in years. Is it spelled out that you're getting this price because you're buying 11 for the price of 10? Is that what it says?
Doesn't say anything.
And the easy on the MetroCard, it says that, no?
Yeah.
Right, it says 11 for the price of 10 or something. So I don't know, I think that would depend. But if it's mom or spelled out, so then it would... I don't know.
Because you're paying up front.
I don't know. So we're again, so we're from America, so we hold from Moshe, so we're makel based on Rav Moshe's kula. Those in Eretz Yisrael don't want to rely on Rav Moshe, they're relying on something else. They're relying on Mustafa, that's the other possible, so it's not a makula, we'll talk about it in a second. There is one last issue that comes up, also a very common shaila, and that's prepayment in terms of tuition. So here the schools come to you and they say, okay, listen, if you pay me, after 6 months, whatever it is, we'll charge you X. If you give me everything up front, or a significant amount up front, we'll shave off a little bit of money off of it. So is that a problem or not? So l'chora, that smacks of a problem. L'chora, that sounds like that should be a potential ribbis problem. So again, unless you want to go the route of the, incorporations, if the school's also incorporated, if, let's say, the school doesn't pay back a loan, you can go after the principal, you can go after nobody. So it's a corporation. So again, according to Rav Moshe, that would also be tzadim l'hokol. Those who don't want to rely on that kula, are there any other tzadim l'hokol? So it's Puan the neighbor of Yashiv that he held that it was muta for a totally different reason. That he said that you have to revamp the way we view what a school is doing. So he said, all these halachas of ribbis, these guidelines are when I'm buying products, when I'm hiring, when I'm paying a person for services, so that's a little bit different, the halacha says. When I'm paying a person for services, so the halacha says as follows, that as long as he started the work now, so then, even though I'm not technically mechuyev to pay him until he finishes the job, but once he started the work now, that's not called prepayment. Prepayment is before anything started. Like when I come to you with the car and I say, here's $10,000, I don't want to see the car, I don't want to touch the car, I'm not going to do with the car for another month, that's called the prepayment plan. If I'm hiring you to do something, you already showed up, you already started to paint my house, you did one stroke, so the Gemara says in Bava Basra, once the guy starts to do the work, so then that's not called the prepayment, and I'm paying you for the whole job. So I'm paying a little bit early, a little bit late, but that's not called the prepayment, and that wouldn't be a problem of ribbis. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Basra, and we shouldn't try to explain why that's true, but some folks can say because you're buying the person, it means and the person is here, it's like buying the car, the car's already there. So whatever the lumbus is, Lamaisa, that's the din. So Rabbi Yashiv says, when you pay tuition, so it's alom de shishayla, means how do you view paying tuition? Am I paying for are there goods here? Goods here. Said so I'm paying the principal, I'm paying the teacher, I'm paying the secretary, they made a lump sum of all the different service charges that I have to pay. So he said that as long as they started the job already, so they usually do start the job, the teachers are already there at the end of the summer, they're already getting their materials ready, the principal's there the whole summer, the secretaries are working around the time. So when I come and I make a deal with the school and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to pay you quote-unquote early, that's not called paying early for goods, that's called paying a person for already having started the job. So that was his saddle huckle. So again, in America we don't need that cool. You hold like Ramayshus, and then the cool is not necessary. It's mutter for other reasons. So at the end of the day, a lot of these things end up to be mutter. Let's not forget that there's all ribbis d'rabbanan. This whole discussion, the prepayments and the postpayments, is all ribbis d'rabbanan. It's all derech mekchel memker. So the idea being, the Chazal wanted us that it should be nikolai. It should be very clear that this doesn't smack of ribbis. So different ways to formulate, to reformulate the conditions that they don't appear to be ribbis. But if one cannot reformulate the conditions properly, then these are real problems. Then one really has to deal with it. These are real regular. Assume the Rabbanan, though instituted by Chazal, as a gezeira, the last one come to Lidei Ribis Deraisa.